Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Know-How is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, visit squarespace.com and use the offer code KNOWHOW10. And by Hover.com. Hover is the reliable domain name registration and management service that's simple, honest, and easy to use. For exceptional customer support and 10% off your new domain name, visit hover.com/knowhow and use the offer code KNOWHOW.
You like your networks virtual and private?
Today, you'll know how to set up a VPN. Love that open. Hello, Iaz Akhtar, or as my little friend Noah says, Iaz Madagascar.
I would change it, but you know, there's so many documents with it. No,
I know, it's too complicated. And how do you spell Madagascar anyway?
I can hardly spell my own name. So
Leah Laporte here, Iaz Akhtar there. This is the show where we show you how to do things.
Pretty much.
Like a hands-on how to do stuff. And this is much demanded, this particular topic.
We've gotten so many emails about this. People are like, how do you set up a VPN? And so, guess what we're doing today? We're
going to
set up a VPN.
Now, I better draw a diagram here so we understand what the heck we're doing. When you communicate, let's say I'm going to send some email or surf a web page. I'm here on my computer, and it could be in an internet cafe or whatever, and that's my computer right there. There's the floppy drive.
What are you bringing with you there?
Yeah, I don't know. But let's say I want to send an email, okay? I'll use the universal symbol for an email, an envelope, okay? Now, normally, remember, we describe the internet as the cloud, the puffy little cloud. But you know what lurks inside this cloud? Servers, lots of them. Bits of the email get sent across the internet via servers, sometimes to multiple servers, then reassembled out here as the email. But there's a problem. Every server along the way can read that email. That's insecure. That's not private. So if you're sending email that needs to be private or surfing the web or sending data or maybe you're logging into your computer at work, there should be some way to maybe encapsulate this transaction so that nobody could read what's inside the email. And that's what a VPN does. It basically takes the data and puts it in an encrypted tunnel so that no spying eyes can see what's in the email. The email itself is not encrypted. All the data, whether it's email, web surfing, anything that's sent through a VPN is shielded from prying eyes by that encrypted tunnel that it's passing through.
And pretty much the only things that can read it are the computer that's sending it and the computer that's receiving, right?
You yeah.
Just, if anybody sniffs anything.
This is public because it has to be, otherwise you wouldn't be able to transmit data over
there. So, like, if you're, let's say you're at a coffee shop and you're, like, on whatever free Wi-Fi and you don't want to have anybody sniffing your data, this is a good way to get around that kind of thing. It's because, you know, you never know who's pretending to be a hotspot. I watch Hack 5 enough. I know that
Darren is watching.
When Darren sits next to me on the set of TNT, I get really nervous. So I always set up a VPN to make sure that he's not getting the data. Or if he's getting any data, it's already encrypted. So
yeah.
At least he'd have to work for it.
So that's really important. It's not just servers out there in the internet. It could be somebody even just sitting right next to you on a wireless network.
You could be pretending to be AT&T Wi-Fi and Starbucks. Right. You never know what you're connecting to. So
most businesses, when they allow employees to log on to the business computer, require that you log into a VPN server so that it's secure, so that it's safe. But there's a use for it as an individual as well. And if your business doesn't provide a VPN, we're going to show you how you could set one up.
And there's something as simple as if you just want to be able to access your entire computer as if you were on the network. So let's say you were playing a bunch of video games with your friends on a LAN, or if you were doing something as simple as doing like network administration. I use this a lot for when my mom would use her machine. She'd run into problems. Mm-hmm. She'd call me up. She goes, how am I going to fix this?
Mm.
I go, I ran really quickly a way, and you'll see how to do this today. Ran Hamachi plus a VLC client, and VLVNC, excuse me. And that way I was able to see what she was doing. So I could just actually take over the computer as if I was there. And I was about 500 miles away.
Wow.
Really simple to use. So we're going to show you the easiest way. And even though it's going to take a while, it's not necessary. It's the easiest way I've been able to do this so far.
Okay. So there's two ways you could do it. You could have your own VPN server, or you could use a third-party VPN server. You going to show us how to create our own VPN server?
I'm going to show you ways to do both. So we're going to show you a private way. We're going to show you a pay way and a way that you could do it on your own. So we'll get to that.
You want me to do a commercial now?
Sure.
Because I'd love to.
I would love that.
I would love to. I don't think we've ever had a sponsor on this show. If we have, received a check. So this will be... the first paying sponsor. Actually, we love Squarespace.com, and you've all been to Squarespace.com by now. The new Squarespace is here. Squarespace version 6. We've been waiting for this for a year. It is fabulous. So if you're wanting to set up your own website, perhaps you're interested in having a portfolio because you're a photographer or a painter or an artist, or maybe you've got a wedding or a birth coming up, Squarespace allows you to create a website. It's both hosting and the software that is gorgeous, easy to use, and very modern because they're using these new mobile responsive designs. The idea of responsive design is the same site works the same way, both on a desktop, you know, large screen computer, and on a mobile device. You got to do that nowadays because everybody's coming to your site on mobile. When you put an image up on Squarespace.com, it resizes that image to 7 different sizes, one for something as small as an iPhone or an iPod Touch, and one for something as big as a giant 27-inch monitor. It just looks great. And by the way, it makes it so easy for you to take a template. They've got 50-plus gorgeous designer templates, and make each one your own. Customize it. If you're a photographer, an artist, if you're looking for a portfolio, when you go to the template page, click portfolios, you'll see some gorgeous portfolio designs. Couldn't be simpler. You bring your documents, your photographs or your paintings up to it, and it displays them in a beautiful way. I have to say Squarespace is really made for people who are creative, who want to write, who want to share their images, who want to participate in the World Wide Web, but don't want to get bogged down in the details of web design. It's easy to post, easy to moderate comments. You can even use the iPhone or the iPad app to do that. Boy, is that spectacular. You can find out everything about your listener, your viewers, great statistics, you know, how many people are visiting, when they're visiting, how much time they spend, what pages they like best. All of that's built into Squarespace. Great software, great hosting, and a great price. I got to tell you, they've redone the pricing structure, and it couldn't be simpler. There's basically two plans, the basic plan and the unlimited plan. Basic plan is $8 a month when you subscribe for a year. The unlimited plan, which means unlimited pages, unlimited galleries, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage, unlimited contributors, $16 a month when you buy a year-long plan. And do get those year-long plans because either for the standard or the unlimited, Squarespace will throw in a domain name registration. So pick your custom domain, you know, leosgreatphotographs.com. They'll hook it up so that that goes automatically to your Squarespace site. It makes it really easy. And by the way, don't ever worry about security with Squarespace because it's both hosting and the software. They always keep the software up to date and secure. Squarespace has never, to my knowledge, never had a security problem. That is absolutely the easiest way. You know, we use it for our inside.twit.tv blog. You can't bring it down. It is rock solid. Try it right now, absolutely free. Just go to squarespace.com, click the try it button, and you can use it for 2 weeks, see what all the features do, import your data from your WordPress, TypePad, or your blogger's blog, and get started. Even the comments and the pictures, everything will go over. By the way, you can always export out of it, too. They absolutely make that easy to do. So try it for 2 weeks. See what you think. If you like it, buy it. Make sure you use our know-how offer code. That's know-how10 for the 10th month. Know-how10. It's also for 10% off your first purchase. Make that purchase a year-long purchase. You'll be saving for the next 12 months. Know-how10 is the offer code, but you don't need that until you buy. Try it free at squarespace.com. The secret behind great portfolios and websites, maybe even yours. All right, so let's get back to the VPN, the virtual private network.
Yeah, so what we're going to set up one of the easiest ways to do it. There's one called Private Tunnel. Now, this was suggested to me by Tom Merritt. It actually uses OpenVPN, and what you do is you end up paying a lump sum. So you pay like a couple bucks for 50 gigabytes, and you're able to pick servers. So it's as easy as signing up for a service, downloading software, and run it. So
it's privatetunnel.com?
Privatetunnel.com.
It is the OpenVPN people, and that is the best open source software for VPNing. The other thing I like about PrivateTunnel, most of the time when you buy a VPN, you're buying it for a time period, a month, a year. This, you're buying it for the amount of data you use, which can make it very economical if you use it just for, you know, quick email or some simple surfing. 50 gigs.
And you can try it out for free. It's 100 megabytes you get for free. It's not 100 megabytes per month. It's 100 megabytes.
Total.
Total, exactly. So I'm going to show you guys something on my laptop right here. I'm trying to get and watch something on the BBC iPlayer television.
Now, this is a special case.
Right. So let's say I'm trying to go. I can't watch the video. And right now, there's no way to look at it, right? So it's
that's because BBC's iPlayer is designed to use only in the UK. But if you want to use in the US, you can also use a VPN to spoof your location.
So what we're going to do is we're going to – I already have PrivateTunnel installed. And what it does on a Mac is it installs it to your little tray up on the top. I'm going to connect to United Kingdom. Now, you have options. You can choose a couple of other countries.
That's pretty funny.
So it's connecting right now. We're going to wait a second and see what happens. And on the top, if you can see my screen, it says a little yellow pin. I said Pinterest. PrivateTunnel is going to change to green. I am now connected to London.
So PrivateTunnel will install some software on your Mac or PC that connects to the VPN. And then you can choose where the kind of the outbound point is. That way you can say I'm in the UK. Now, by the way, from a purely ethical point of view, I'm not recommending that you do this because the reason the iPlayer blocks United States viewers is because people in England pay for this service with their television licenses. And so they figure, well, why should we use expensive bandwidth to serve the United States? I don't think this is probably done that much, so it probably isn't a big deal. But just so you know, it's not the only use for VPN. It's one of the more sketch
it's
uses.
It's a very popular use of VPN.
It is very popular.
Right now, I've loaded it up, and right now you can see that it's green up top. You can
Look,
see that I'm
connected.
They
connecting. Think you're connecting from England.
I can hit
does
play.
Does it get in the way? Does it slow it down?
It does slow it down a little bit. PrivateTunnel is really good. It's got some good speeds. As it's going, you can see
you know when people use this a lot was for the Olympics because the British version of the Olympics was ad-free, was in real time. It was really great, and people were frustrated by NBC's coverage often watched on the BBC.
Yeah,
using
the other thing
a VPN.
Is like if you let's say I mean you can be in another country and you're being filtered out. That's a good reason to use this kind of thing. If you're being censored, use a VPN, get around that. If you can't get access to websites, it's a good way to do it. 100 megabytes.
I want to emphasize the main purpose of using a VPN is for privacy and security. Not for stealing television from Britain.
Absolutely. That is not the main usage of it. It is just a very popular requested thing from the emailers.
Actually, it may be the main use. It may be the most popular use.
But so, I mean, the thing is sometimes you want to be able to hide. But let's say...
And it's anonymity, too. Although, as you pointed out, it's not completely anonymous because it's often possible to see the entry and the exit point of the PrivateTunnel.
Okay, so then... That's great. So that's if you want to pay for a service or get 100 megabytes for free or whatever you want to do with PrivateTunnel, you could do that. But if you want to connect two computers, because don't forget, what we just saw was basically changing your IP address. You're saying, I'm over in the UK.
Or pretending you're coming. Right. You know, what happens is that because you use the tunnel to a UK server and you emerge into the public internet from that UK server, which is over here, it looks as if that's where you're coming from. In fact, you're coming from over here, but all of that is hidden. This is also used, by the way, by... Let's say kids who are in a school where they block Facebook, Twitter, or World of Warcraft. You could also use a VPN. The school wouldn't see what's coming in, right? The school wouldn't know. It would see the VPN server, but because this is encrypted, it wouldn't know you're playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, basically, a lot of people usually get around work restrictions
or
as
work,
well.
Right.
But to set up a network between your two different machines, I suggest using something called Hamachi. Now, this has been around for a really long time, to the point that it got bought by LogMeIn. So some things have changed since I started using it years ago.
This was a really cool program.
I use this software. I use this actually to diagnose my mom's computer all the time.
Used to be a free project.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's open source. But you could just use it, and it would essentially mean that you and your mom, even though you were geographically separated, looked like you were on the same local area network.
So whatever computers were on her network as well, I could access those.
Right.
So like that's where I used to live.
Pretty
I had
cool.
a bunch of those computers. Why not work with that?
Yeah.
So what I suggest is going to get Hamachi still. It's still available for free for up to 5 users. If otherwise, you have to pay some money. You get a lot more. You can manage your network a lot more with the pay thing.
You know who, use this also is gamers that with games that didn't have online components. You could only play against other people on your local area network. In the early days of Halo, that's how you played Halo. So you could set up a game where you're playing gamers across the country all on the same Hamachi network. So it looked to Halo or whatever game you were playing as if you were all in the same space.
So I'm going to run Hamachi. I'm going to install Hamachi. Download it. It's free. Install it, right?
I really like simple. Hamachi a lot. Yeah.
So you install it. You see what you know what an installer looks like. And let's see. It's going to run a program to see if it can be installed.
So in every case, a VPN will put a client on your computer that lets you access the VPN server.
Right.
Okay.
So I've already installed it, and you can see this window over here. It says, log me in, Hamachi. And I'm sure that people are going to be like, you're giving away your address. Oh, no, it's going to be awful. It kind of is. So try not to join my network just yet. Anyway, so you can see that there's an IP address. This is the window. This is it. Yeah. This tiny little thing right now. I've created a network, and it's called The Big Fisherman. You can see it's got 2 out of 5 users, and it's connected to another computer called Rumble. That's my laptop, actually, because what you're seeing...
So Rumble looks like it's next door.
What you're actually seeing is my home computer.
That's cool.
So I can actually switch out of that. You can actually see that I'm... Let's see if I could pinch and zoom this out to work. And then...
I should say, Windows and Macintosh do sometimes have VPN software on them. But for something like Hamachi, you have to download the Hamachi
right,
software.
So you would just go to network, and you'd create a new network, and you'd give it a name. You'd be like, this is the know-how network, right?
Cool.
Probably need underscores. And then you would say some password, really, really secure password or something
like
that.
Well, you do want a secure password because you don't want people logging into your network.
And you're able to send out invites to people. You can send them an email, give them this address, and you'll be able to access it. So... That's going to be on your always-on machine. So that's the machine you want to access that doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
You never want to turn that thing off, obviously.
Ah, so one machine is the Hamachi server on your network, and that one must stay on at all times.
So we got that. Let's see. You're going to need Hamachi on your portable device because we have it running on one machine. It's the same process, right? You download it.
So that's going to be the client
that
runs.
Again, it's going to look really simple because all it is you install. Let me hide this because I can't. You just install this client. So there it is again, log me in Hamachi. And you could see that it's logged into the Big Fisherman there, and there's Unicron, which is the name of my home machine. If I just show you this right there. Gigantic right there. Very simple. If I want to do things like, I don't know, to have a conversation with that person, I can right-click, I can hit chat. This is a kind of a nice thing, especially when you're going, hey, what are you doing on your machine?
That is a long URL. I just barely was able to get that in. Logmein.com. That's probably enough. You can probably find Hamachi from their menu system.
Yeah.
/products/Hamachi. Hamachi is a sushi.
It's
H-A-M-A-C-H-I. What kind of sushi is Hamachi? Is it eel?
Isn't it yellowtail?
Yellowtail? It is. It's yellowtail. Yeah,
I like yellowtail. Right. So if you go back to my screen, you can see that I'm basically having a conversation with myself here. That you actually have chat working with Hamachi. So it's really built
your server's running at home.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a Hamachi client on the laptop here, and it looks as if you're on the same network.
Exactly.
And I noticed it's using AES 256-bit. That's a very strong encryption standard. So you really are private in that conversation.
And one of the crazy things, the way I've been able to show you the screen shares, because I'm using OS 10, you could be using VNC on a Windows machine, is if you look at Finder, you'll actually see in the shared section, you'll see Unicron. This is my home machine. It's as if it's on the network.
Oh,
so I can just
go
to share screen, or I can connect as, I can log in, I can do whatever I want, as if I was at my home network. So it's not just like, we did the roll your own cloud thing. We showed you how to access particular files and folders. But you have a lot more control when it comes to actually having your machines on your network. Okay.
That's Hamachi.
But that's not the only thing you could do, right? You want to route your traffic maybe from this machine over to that other machine, make sure that everything you've set up at your home is really, you have all the security on your laptop at the same time. We're going to show you how to do that in just a second.
But first, another commercial. Actually, a word from our great friends at Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management made simple. Very clean from the great folks at 2Cow. 2Cows have done some interesting stuff. They've really decided they want to take businesses that aren't working so well and reinvent them. They did that with Ting and cell phones, and they're doing it with domain name registration. I mean, if you've tried to register a domain name on one of those other guys, you know you got to go through 800 clicks. They're trying to upsell you 100 different ways. not with Hover. Go to hover.com, pick the domain name you want, and they have all the main domain TLDs like .com, .net, .org, TV, .tv, .pro, .mobi, .biz, also country codes like .ca, .asia, .us, .uk, and they will make it so easy. You pick the name, you don't have a bunch of clicks. It's so simple. They do have great support documentation, online help, and tutorials. But they also offer something unique. No-hold support. No-hold, no-wait, no-transfer phone support. When you call during business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 866-731-6556. That's at the top of the page on hover.com. You'll be speaking to a live person who is empowered, who wants to help you, and will get to the bottom of any problem you might have or help you teach you how to do what you need to do. They've also got a great domain transfer concierge service. I recommend you use this if you're moving your domains to Hover like I did. I did it by hand. They'll do it for you. It's $25 normally, but if you mention you heard it on Twitter, I have a feeling they'll waive that $25. They do charge $10 to transfer a domain name over, but you get an extra year. Plus, Hover throws in something the other guys charge for, domain whois privacy. Now, if you heard the Matt Honan hacking case, this is one of the things the hackers said. The first place they go is the whois registry. If you've got a website, and this is how they hacked Matt, if he's got a website that has his address on it or his phone number, now they've got the kind of personal information they need to go after you. Whois privacy is really important, and it's always included at hover.com when you register a domain. Just one of many reasons to use Hover. All of my domains are on hover.com. I think you should move to hover.com too. Hover.com. And you're going to get 10% off when you use our offer code KNOWHOW. So, free domain transfer. The concierge service is free. $10 for new domains. If you want a new domain and you use the offer code KNOWHOW, you'll save 10%. And that's, by the way, on your entire purchase. So register like 100 names. Take advantage of it. Get as many as you want. Hover.com. They don't believe in upselling, cross-selling. They believe in quality service and support and great domain management tools. They're honest. They're easy. They're keeping it real. Hover.com.
I tried out using Hover.com, and I was just shocked at how easy it was.
We're so spoiled.
I was going through, like, I'm like, where are you hiding? How do I change this? I want to forward this, this
right
URL.
Here.
How do I do this? It's all up front. And
isn't
I was just
funny?
I had to like take a second back. I'm like, where's that second or third screen?
We're not used to that. Where's the naked girls? I don't understand.
Absolutely a fantastic site. I really love using them. I got to move everything over
I'm really proud of our association with Hover. This is a great company. And Elliot Noss, the CEO over there, is the really great guy. Really great guy. So you said you were going to show us how to route the traffic. Now, why would I want to do that?
Okay, so at home, you probably got a bunch of things that are really safe. You know exactly what your firewall is set up. You got everything with your routers. You're also going to, you know where you're being connected to. So like with our drawing there showing that you're sending this email, you're connected to whatever network when you're on the road or on the go. You don't know exactly who's in the middle.
Who are these servers, you know? I don't want them to see my stuff. Maybe you're at work. You don't want the boss to see your email.
Exactly.
So how can I do that? How do I route my traffic?
So we're gonna install something called Privoxy on your always-on machine. So that machine that we showed you at first, you're going to go to privoxy.org. And again, by the way, if you're wondering, where am I going to get all these links? How am I going to be able to follow this? We have a bunch of show notes at twit.tv/KH.
There it
with
is.
With all the websites, all the links, detailed instructions.
Take a picture of our blackboard.
Yes. You could also, because the episodes are available for download, you could scrub in
quick,
HD.
Take a picture.
Screenshot.
Quick.
Right there. You could do that. So don't forget, everything is at twit.tv/KH. So you're going to install Privoxy on your always-on machine. It's pretty simple. It's, again, you've seen an installer. You double-click it, and you install that.
Open source and free.
All right. So
and then does it work with like private tunnel, or am I doing something complete? Is this my own thing now?
We're going to have to get our hands a little dirty to make this work with Temaji.
Uh-oh.
So,
okay.
So install Privoxy on my home machine. Now, on a Mac, you have to go into a private file, a config file. You have to change an IP address because otherwise all your traffic is not going to be going through your proxy here.
I guess I should write this down.
Sure,
this is on the Mac?
This is on the
or
Mac.
Or a Linux box, it would be the same spot.
Yeah,
USR.
Hidden.
Did you even know you had a USR folder? /local. Oh, boy. You don't have to do this on Windows.
Nope. Windows, it's really easy.
/etc.
Windows, you get to just right-click a config file and edit it.
/privoxy.
Mm-hmm. Slash.
Slash config.
That's just a text file.
Okay.
Now, by the way, since this is a hidden file, if you're on a Mac, you're going to have to do something, maybe use a terminal command. We're going to have a link to something called Secrets. Really easy preference pane you install into System Preferences. You click that, you see your hidden files, and you could easily find, as easily as you could find that that path in Finder. So it's going to take a little bit of work. Then you have to give yourself permissions to edit the file because it's a hidden file. That's going to be there too. So we're going to open up config, and we're going to show you what this looks like. So here we go. We have a bunch of text. Let's see if we can get this bigger so you guys can see it. All right. So this is actually the config file. What we want to do is we want to find, I got to find my find. We're looking for listen/address. Okay. So we're going to keep finding it. Now, if you're new to this kind of stuff, the hashtag means it's commented out. It means it's not something that's being used. We want to find where it's not commented out. It's like the fourth one. There it is. Let me zoom in. I was doing this last night, and I'll tell you guys, this is lots of fun. So what you're going to do, you're going to find the listen address. You're going to comment it out. You're going to copy it. You're going to paste it. You're going to find your Hamachi IP address, which... So let me get that.
You got two copies of it in there.
Yeah, I'll take that out. I'm just showing on Hamachi. You can right click, copy your IPv4 address, which I've done here. Which is, so I don't need this. I can delete that. Then you're going to save that, and now what's going to happen?
So that's the Hamachi address, right?
Yes, that's your Hamachi address.
Okay.
So you've got this.
That has a dummy 127 address in there. You're going to replace it with a 5-dot address you get from Hamachi.
Your Hamachi address has a 5-dot.
And the port. Address. This is important. Is always 8118.
Now, what I found, by the way, is this is supposed to work on its own. I had to restart my machine at this point because for some reason it wasn't working. You might want to restart your machine. All right. So now that I have that set up, I told you you're going to get your hands dirty. This took me a while last night to get this to work properly. So we have that set. We're going to go back to my laptop. So for laptop, I think right now what I got to do is I got my Hamachi running. I need to set up a proxy. So that's going to be in System Preferences. And I'm going to go to Network. I'm going to go to Wi-Fi. I'm going to go to Advanced. I'm going to go to Proxies. I'm going to turn on Web Proxy and Secure Web Proxy. So we're going to, let's see if we can zoom that in.
And you'd already populated that with the 5-dot addresses from
so
Hamachi.
Right now I have the address 5.14. I have the port over there. I have the same thing for Secure Web Proxy.
Yeah.
Can hit OK. That's already going.
So now it's going to go to those ports. All web traffic is going to go to those that address and port first.
Don't forget to hit apply.
Simple and apply thing. It.
Actually, what I should do is I can show you that my IP address is going to change.
And sometimes a restart, as you said.
Sometimes I had to do restarts. Yeah. It's going to be finicky. I'll tell you that. Because when I was doing this and testing it out to make sure it worked, boy, was I banging my head against the wall with this stuff. Because when I was trying to set permissions to work, to write on that file, wasn't working right away. I had to change a lot of things. But it's definitely worth it because you're going to be secure. So we're going to show my IP address. This is...
Whatever you say, Iaz.
Getting there slowly, very slowly.
If you say I should do it, I'm going to do it.
Well, right now I'm trying to get my production studio working. So right now I'm trying to get my IP address on my laptop, which, of course, is not working right now. Do I have my thing turned off? Mm-hmm.
Where are you getting this IP address from?
Well, right now I'm just going to what's my IP address to show that it's working. And
okay.
I want to show you that things are
going to
be different.
So you're just going to a website that tells you what your IP address is.
I just want to show you that. Here we go. Right now you can see my IP address. It's a sonic.net 50. Whatever, right? So once I set up the proxy, though, that's going to change.
You're no longer going to look like you're coming from our brick house web or internet access. You're going to look like you're coming from your house.
From my house, actually. So we're going to hit this. Going to turn on the web
He's
proxy.
He's turning on. Now, notice there's a comma in that port. That's an Apple thing, right?
Yeah. And the weird thing
I don't
is
know why
it's
puts
not
that
even
in
a
there.
Consistent Apple thing. Because
yeah, but it's smart enough to ignore it.
On my older Mac, it doesn't add the comma. On my new Mac, it does. I'm not sure why it does
it's
that.
Some setting somewhere, I'm sure.
Let's see if I got anything working. Do I have internet yet?
You know, somebody's saying Steve Gibson would freak out if he's watching this. Actually, not so. He discovered Hamachi many years ago before it was sold and was raving about it. In fact, if you really want to understand how Hamachi works, there's an entire Security Now episode all about Hamachi. It goes back a few years, but it's all basically the same. And he absolutely thinks Hamachi's the greatest.
Oh, probably because I skipped a step. Back on your home machine.
Yeah.
Your home machine, you also have to set up the proxies to the same thing. I mean, it's pretty simple. So we hit OK. That should be working. In theory, all this is working, right?
Of course it's working. What could possibly go wrong?
Just because it required 10 things to work together. So if we go to my screen, you can see how this stuff wasn't working, right? We're looking at my Hamachi my Hamachi window.
That's your home. The Big Fisherman is your home machine.
That's my actual network. Now, I did make the mistake of showing my address on the air live when
we did
this.
It's going up and down.
Unicron is my local machine, my home machine. It's not staying online. Now, I'm not sure what's going on there. Obviously, like I said, when we were setting up this whole thing, you need an always-on machine to do this. And something is going on with my always-on machine.
You have a Hamachi server at home that is currently not up.
It is. Yeah, we have a mistake here. So, but the thing is, if this isn't working, then you could use Private Tunnel. But and they're up and they're taking care of their servers.
This
but
is a valuable lesson because that's one of the problems with VPN. Is difficult. It's not easy. This is an advanced topic. You might find VPN servers. Some firewalls and routers come with built-in VPN. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit easier to use a hardware VPN solution that's already, you know, built into your firewall or router. A dedicated machine doing this is also a good idea. Hamachi is just one of many. If you thought that was tricky, OpenVPN is like 100 times more difficult. So your mileage may vary exactly.
Absolutely. You know, that's a good reality check right there. This might not work necessarily as poorly for you because you didn't put your IP address online.
I'm not just saying. I think that could have been.
There's a good chance that
somebody saw it.
Darren,
we're doing this live.
Darren, are you watching
Darren
this?
Kitchen is like, he's DDoSing your server.
Yeah, so I got to figure out what's going on there and then maybe create a new network.
In fact, Ding Chow has just pinged your Ding, and he says your IP is not responding.
Okay,
so
that was...
I think it's down.
Okay, so then
for whatever reason,
with all the troubleshooting I was trying to do, it doesn't matter because something is going on weird. But
right.
That's probably not going to be your experience. And by the way, if you want to try this on your own, you could do that twit.tv/KH. The show notes, I will make sure that it says, do not air live your IP address.
It's probably
in
a good
case
idea.
Of
you, it's password protected, so they're not able to get into your network unless they can guess your password. In fact, that may be what they're doing right now is trying to brute force your password. That's why you're getting all those hits. Or they could just be doing something destructive, DDoSing your address. Because once you... Now, is that 5-dot address public? Is it visible? No, you have to be running Hamachi on the other end. So they could be running Hamachi on their end, trying to log into your Hamachi server.
Yeah, well, one of the nice things with Hamachi is it does show you how many users are actually on your network at the time. I have 2 of 5. It's thinking my machine is on. I got to figure out what's going on there.
All right.
But we'll find out later. This is like a mystery now. I can't wait to go home and find out that my machine is on fire.
You know, we should just follow him home with a camera crew. As he goes and he finds out what's going on.
I am a little miffed by what happened there because I don't understand. This isn't something you can actually fix from right here. So this is actually have to go to my house. Real quick, we got an email about our DVR episode. It mentioned, this is from Jeff. As you mentioned, Windows has a built-in DVR, but you may know that the file format it records can only be played back in Media Center. He found a program called MCE Buddy that allows you to convert it over to MP4. We'll have a link to that in the show notes for today's episode, twit.tv/KH. So now that you know how not to do that.
Why don't you go run out and set up a VPN of your own? Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to watch Iaz head for home and bang on his server. We'll see you next time on Know How.